There's a children's song that we sing. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. And this morning, I would like for us to study from the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. And we're going to be looking at two verses there, verses 21 and 22. And we're going to talk about these two verses and how that we ought to be careful what we do. The scripture goes, but examine everything carefully, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil. A couple other translations say, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. That's the King James. The New King James says, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. All three of those translations read pretty close. There are just a few differences. We notice the idea of examine, prove, or test. And really all three of these translations give us a pretty good idea of what that word means. You examine something, you prove something, you test something. And then he talks about the idea of every form or all appearance of evil. So when we look at this text, we're going to be examining things about our testing or proving to make sure that what we say, what we do, where we go, how we act is good and not some appearance or form of evil. As we consider this verse, I think contextually the text is referring to the idea of being aware of any kind of false teaching or false practices. And the reason I bring this up, because this is very common in our religious world. There are many religious folks that would accept any sort of teaching or any sort of practice in a local church simply because our preacher said so. Now, being a preacher, I appreciate the honor and respect that people give me. But you should never respect a man above God. This text is talking about making sure that what we do is from God. So your preacher may be saying something, but when really searched down and examined and proved and tested, it's not the Word of God at all. And sometimes the practice of churches is the fact that, well, you know, we've always done it that way. Well, I think all of us are well aware of the fact that we become creatures of habit. We do things sometimes simply because it's traditional. And that may or may not be wrong in and of itself, but when it comes to what God wants us to do, what God has asked us not to do, sometimes we ignore that, what God has said, and we do simply what is traditional. So this text is forbidding this kind of gullibility. It's not okay, brethren, to believe something just because the preacher said it. It's not okay to believe something and practice something just because, well, you've been going to this church forever and that's what they've always done. When we look at God's Word and what God's Word has to say, it's important for us to understand these great words that we're very familiar with. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Colossians 3 and verse 17. Now, we in the first period study the book of Hebrews. And one of the outstanding things that we have been studying in chapter 11, these great people of faith, their faith was based upon a trust in what God had said in His promises. We too should trust in God and what He says. But it also stands to reason that when we really trust God and we believe God, that whatever you do in word or deed, we have the authority of God to do that. So I think that's what this passage is referring to in the idea of examining everything carefully. We're continually confronted with good and evil. Everywhere we go, there's good and evil everywhere. And that really should motivate us to make sure and examine everything very, very carefully. As a general rule, there are both personalities of children. Some children are just totally afraid and not willing to go to a stranger. But there are those that are very willing just to... anybody that smiles at them, you know, they're happy to see them and so forth and so on. So if we have the second type child, we would be encouraging them and teaching them to be aware of strangers. We live in this kind of world. And to be careful and so forth and so on. When we consider the idea of what we believe and what we practice as a church, we have to be very careful that we're just not just overly accepting of anything that comes down the road. There has been trends like this for centuries that people seemingly become very attracted to something that's new, something that is different, something that maybe is a little more stimulating, something that is a little bit more exciting. We get kind of in the humdrum or the rut of the same old, same old, same old. And so there is within all of us kind of like we need to freshen up. We need to renew. We need to make something different and more exciting. And sometimes just to change to be changing. But yet this passage would teach us to be very, very careful about that. And as we think about that, it says to hold fast to that which is good. There is a real sense in which the idea of if it's not broke, don't fix it concept. And when we have the Word of God, we have the truth, and we know that we have the truth because this is what God has said for us to do, this is what God has told us not to do, and we have that truth, we hold on to that. We hold fast to that. But I want you to remember, again, what Satan did to Eve. He only changed or added one word. God had said, "You shall surely die." But Satan said, "You shall surely not die." And that made all the difference. Made all the difference. And someone has rightly said that that error is its most dangerous when it's told with a bit of truth. Sometimes we hear brethren say things like, "Well, you know, that sounds pretty good." Or, "I really like what they're doing." And sometimes we haven't stopped to examine to make sure. Is this right? That's especially true for our elders. They have the responsibility as shepherds of the sheep. And the sheep might have an idea. They might think that, okay, this is going to be better. This is going to be great. Elders have a responsibility to examine that carefully. To make sure and to check and to see and make sure that that's going to be the best thing. Now, elders are capable of making bad choices too. They, as well as all of us, are dependent upon God's Word. Had Eve stopped and examined carefully what the devil said, she would have readily been able to say, "Look, you've changed what God said. I believe God, therefore I am not going to accept what you say." That must be our mentality. Someone can be very slick in speech and persuasive. But does that make it right? When he says examine everything carefully, I think this is important for us to understand that in this context, he's probably talking about the prophetic utterances that is mentioned in verse 20. When you study a passage, and we're looking at verses 21 and 22, right? Well, in order to take just a couple of verses and to study those verses, which is what we're doing, and which is fine and good, but it's unwise and it's not being careful if you don't consider the context. And sometimes the context is just a verse or two before, or verse or two after, or sometimes it's a paragraph before and after. Sometimes it's a chapter before and after. But you need to make sure of what the writer is trying to say. And at the very minimal, verse 20 would talk about the idea of prophetic utterances. And we understand that John had written and said, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Now here's the deal. The first century, when this was written, there were people that had miraculous manifestations from the Spirit. And they had those based upon the fact that an apostle had laid their hands upon them. And they received that power. But even then, people needed to be cautious. Anybody could come up and say, "Hey, I have the Spirit of God. This is what the Spirit of God says." And then he says something. Well, how do you know if that's true when you don't know this guy from Adam? Well, there was a test. Well, one of the nine manifestations of the Spirit was the discerning of spirits. So here's a man that receives the Spirit of God directly, and he is able to speak as the mouthpiece of God what God says. But then here's another fella that has the discerning of spirits, who is able to say, "Yes, that's of God. No, that is not of God." Well, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? And what does John say? He says to test the spirits. The word "test" that is there is the same original word in the original language of our verse 21, when it says examine or prove or test. It's the same word. So you can imagine an example in Acts 17 when Paul came and preached to the Bereans. How did they test him? Well, they didn't have the miraculous manifestation, but what did they have? They had the Old Testament Scriptures. So what does the text say? They searched the Scriptures daily to see whether the things that Paul said was true. John is saying, even if you have miraculous situations, you have someone with miraculous gift to test to see whether or not it's of God. Well, now, that age of miracle has since passed. Now we have what the Spirit says in the Word of God. And Paul said, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So when we read this, now we prove what the Word of God is. So here's how it breaks down. When I'm preaching and teaching, I don't have the direct operation of the Holy Spirit to speak God's Word. Nor do you have the miraculous manifestation of the Spirit to determine if what I'm saying is God's Word. But what do you have? It's in your hands. It's on your lap. It's the Word of God. So what should you do? Examine everything carefully. Do not sit here gullibly and just accept anything anybody says as gospel. Test it. Examine it. Make sure that it's right. I make mistakes. I'm human. You make mistakes. You're human. And we depend upon each other to help each other to make sure that we're able to discern the spirits. And that is to judge, to make sure that it's right. So today we have the Word of God. So how would you know if what I was saying was the truth? Well, you must examine for yourself. When you read the Word of God, how does it read to you? Sometimes we disagree about that. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, he makes very clear that when we do read, he says, we can understand it. Ephesians 3 and verse 4, and by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. How many of us have longed to be able to understand and appreciate what Paul wrote? Especially if we're going to talk about the book of Romans. Well, what was he talking about? What was he saying? Well, Paul says, well, if you read, you can understand. Now, you might not understand it the first time. In fact, we might need to read it two or three times. Maybe four or five times. And we study it. We work through it. You remember the eunuch when he was reading the old law? And Philip came up to him? What did Philip ask him? Do you understand what you're reading? And what did the eunuch say? How can I unless some man help me? Do we need help from time to time? Sure. But if the blind lead the blind, what happens? You might get some help from someone that really doesn't know what he's talking about. I think it's important for us to learn today, we must all be very, very careful. I'm not talking about us being paranoid, but I'm talking about us being very careful and not be gullible. That you be learned enough to know what God's Word says. That you be learned enough in God's Word that if need be, you sit down with someone who is asking the question, what must I do to be saved? That you can turn to God's Word and you can show them what God says. Because understanding what God's Word says is eternally important. Again, we have a beeper going off. The brothers back there, they know who it is. Don't everybody get up and leave to see. But we do need probably mine. Can you tell, Ronnie?
I can't see yours.
Well, what do we do now, Ruth? Let's wait just a moment. Because everybody's thinking about... All done? Gracias. Let's move on to the next chart. You know that the devil appears as an angel of light? Did you know that there are Christians who are not really Christians? Did you know that the Bible describes them as wolves in sheep's clothing? Paul warned the elders of Ephesus at Miletus in Acts 20 of that very thing. So what are we saying? Things don't always... They're not always what they appear to be. Have you ever been fooled? You ever been misled? Me too. And yet in these passages, we are learning from God's Word that we need to make sure that we understand who we're with, who we're talking to, who we're listening to. In the first century, Christians were surrounded by ungodliness. And sometimes maybe we may tend to underestimate that or forget that even is true. We know that we live in an ungodly world today, but Christians back then, they did too. They had to deal with evil and ungodliness all around them every day. They had to be very careful. So do we. They had to be careful where they went. They had to be careful what they did. They had to be careful who they associated with. They had to be careful who was influencing their life. And all these things are true today. And if we are very gullible, and if we're not paying attention, our kids could be hanging out with a bunch of hoodlums. And did not Paul warn the Corinthian brethren that bad company corrupts good morals? Have your children kind of gotten a different attitude recently? Maybe they're using language that they never used before. Maybe they're doing things they never did before. What caused the change? And maybe it's not good. Do you know who they're hanging around? Do you know what they're watching? You know what they're listening to? Well, see, all of that's very, very important. Because people that hang around with God, people that have the influence of God, you can definitely determine and understand the influence upon them. Question. Is there a difference in going to Chick-fil-A and the people that wait on you there than there are in any other restaurant you can go to? Do you notice a difference? That difference is deliberate. And it's important that we understand that we ought to be different too than the world. And God is one that can and will help us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. There the Apostle Paul makes this statement. He says, "But the Lord is faithful, and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. And the way I talk, the way I act, will be very obvious as to who's influencing my life. Is it God? Is it righteousness? Or is it evil? Is it wrong?" We must avoid every appearance of evil. Why? Because it's dangerous. You know, there's lots of drugs out there in the world. Opioids, marijuana, coke, all kinds of things. And some of these drugs are so, so bad. I mean, one dose. And it's got you. You know, there are drugs that you can play around with and mess around with and get a buzz or get a high. And you come to realize, you know, you ought not to be doing that. You made a mistake. And you can quit it. You might smoke a reefer. You might smoke cigarettes. You might drink a few beers. You might drink a whole fifth of whiskey one time. And you might not be addicted. Realize you're wrong and quit. But there are some things that you can do in this old world. It don't take but one time. And man, you're gone. But see, if you're not aware of that, and if you're very ignorant of that, you could be hanging around the kind of people that would just love to see you get flipped out, just to see you go nuts, and encourage you to do something one time. Oh, you just do it one time, and you do it that one time, and you're done. God and what is right will never, ever, ever encourage you to do evil or wrong one time. In fact, that is the age-old test of who's really for you or against you. When anybody, it doesn't matter if it's sex, or it's popping pills, or blowing up mailboxes. Anybody that encourages you to do wrong even one time, you need to get away from that person. Now, how many people do we really hang around that are those kind of people? My guess is, if you go to school, you're forced to go to class with them. You may play ball with them on the team. And of yesteryear, and I'm not sure it's politically correct to say it today, but back in yesteryear, we would say that person ain't worth shooting. How does a person overcome and deal with such evil influences? Well, that's what this lesson's all about. We have got to learn like Moses did. We've got to learn like Abraham did. We have to learn like first century Christians learned. You have to learn your own limitations. Some of us are stronger than others. Some of us are leaders. And some of us are followers. And those of us that are not leaders, we're liable to follow just about anybody. Parents, maybe one of your greatest fears is trying to determine about your own children. If you know you have a child that's very gullible, that can easily follow anybody regardless of what they say or what they do, you ought to be afraid about that. When we look at the idea of abstain from every form of evil, the idea of appearance is probably in the King James the best idea. What does it look like? You remember Jesus said, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. We can't always look at things just at face value. We have to dig deeper than that. And so when we dig deeper in that, we find in this particular idea, it has to do with the hold to that which is good, but hold off to that which is evil. When you find out something is evil and bad and a wrong influence, parents, listen to me. If you know your kids are in a bad situation, you've got one shot in your life to raise your kid. And if they're in the wrong circumstance and the wrong influence, you need to do something immediately. Save your child. Get them out of that ball team. Get them out of that school. Whatever. Because your child and their soul is the most important thing. Some kids can deal with it differently. Some kids can be right in there. And it seems like they just have an ability to not be a follower but a leader. In fact, what happens is that this kid, he doesn't give in to the evil and the wrong. He's helping some of these bad people to do the right thing. And sometimes parents deceive themselves that their kid is always that kid. And that just ain't so. And if you're really not paying attention, and if you're really not watching and observing, you may be completely deceived yourself as to what kind of kids you have. It's pretty serious business, isn't it? So, what does it mean when we come to spiritual things? Is your child interested in spiritual things? Do they care about church? Do they care about God? What are you teaching them? What's their influence? What's most important to them? You see, when you start to examine things carefully, you have to learn and rightly divide the fact that there are things that might be good in and of themselves, but it's leading them down the wrong path. The wrong path in what way? It's getting them further and further away from the Lord. Their time, their thoughts, their ideas is all in another direction. They don't have time for God. They don't have time to think about the Bible. They don't have time to think about goodness because they're thinking all about this other stuff. And somehow or another, parents have been deceived into thinking that, you know, when my kids are little, they just need to be kids. They don't... Do you not understand that you're supposed to raise your child up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? And if you wait till they're grown to introduce them to God, you've lost them forever? You see, examining everything carefully includes being a parent. Making tough choices. Not only for yourself, but for your children. Keeping away from evil is essential. Your child can't afford one time to sleep with somebody, regardless of the circumstance. Under no conditions. Ever. Does your child allow anybody to touch their private parts? Or to be in any way sexual with them in any shape, form, or fashion? Verbally or physically? Does your child know that? You see, there's a hands-off in regards to those kinds of things. There's no exception. None. The application is endless. And if you assume your child knows that, you have assumed wrong. You can never, as a parent, assume your child knows that. How many times did you have to teach them to tie their shoe? Just out of curiosity. How many in this room, honestly, showed your child one time how to tie their shoe and they did it? Never had to sew them again. Raise your hand. Let the record say, not one person raised their hand. Now, what does that teach you about teaching children? Oh, I had that discussion about the birds and the bees, you know, way back there. I don't want to go through that again. Then brace yourself for the future. Oh, it's uncomfortable. I don't like that. It's uncomfortable for me too. But you better examine it carefully. Girls are especially vulnerable. Because guys, they learn every trick in the book. Fathers, you better be preparing your daughters for these guys. In our day and age, girls are getting very, very aggressive too. Moms, you better be preparing your sons. Examine everything carefully. God is holy. We must be holy. And teach them what that means. Whether you're talking about how they talk, locker room talk, how you talk to the opposite sex, what you say, how you say it. How do you talk about the races? People that are different. Examine carefully what you say. We've already mentioned the fact that avoiding all appearance of evil has to do with avoiding certain places. It's still amazing to me in the 21st century, of all the centuries, especially in the United States, and even before here, since Jerusalem, that the gospel has been preached against the very wiles of the devil, about avoiding certain places. I'm talking about avoiding the dance halls. I'm talking about avoiding the pool rooms. I'm talking about avoiding places where Christians have no business. And we don't talk much about that anymore. When's the last time you heard a preacher say, stay out of the pool hall? Don't even know if there's one around. Stay out of the beer joints. You don't want to be getting out on the dance floor. What was the old saying that was for centuries said? A dancing leg and a praying knee don't go on the same leg. We don't hear that anymore. Why? Because we've become so educated and we've become so powerful and strong as Christians, that doesn't affect us. It doesn't bother us. Really. Avoiding questionable situations. Time and time again, parents make the mistake with their children, their girl, whatever age, starts to put on those beautiful things on her face and she looks beautiful and she is getting grown up. And then some boy that's 2, 3, 4 years older than her wants to date her, and they let them sit in the living room in the dark by themselves and not supervised. And we wonder why there's so many pregnancies outside of marriage. Wake up, parents. And we're out in the workforce, and what are we doing? Who are we around? We're putting ourselves in very questionable situations with the opposite sex. And today, not only do we have to worry about the opposite sex, we have to worry about the same sex. Christians just got to be careful. Are we? We should. In concluding this morning, I would simply like to say that when you read this great text, you might just remember the song. What a beautiful little song. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. For the Father up above is looking down in tender love. So be careful, little hands, what you do. The next time you go someplace, next time you say something, why not just remember this sweet little song? For the Father up above is looking down in tender love. He sees you, what you're doing. Examine it carefully. Are you careful? The Father sees all. You've listened so patiently this morning. I appreciate that very, very much. If you're here this morning and not a child of God, you need to examine things like this very carefully that I'm showing to you. The steps to become a Christian. Now, you may have seen that 100 times. But have you ever really seen it? Have you ever really examined it carefully? Does it apply to you? Is it meant for you? Jesus calls for all to obey Him because all have sinned and fallen short. This morning, if we can help any of you be obedient to Christ, won't you come as we stand and sing?
There's a fountain.